Everybody, and welcome to episode 68 of Spoilers Podcast. My name is Ben Garland. I'm one of the co-hosts for this show, and we apologize for being on hiatus for so long. We've had some technical difficulties for the past 4 weeks, but we are finally back and ready to talk about some wrestling action. So, and I'm here with my co-host, Graham Mentz. What's going on, man?
Doing great, Ben, and of course, ready to discuss everything going on this week in wrestling, including this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. Friday Night SmackDown, Extreme Rules coming up in a few weeks. Extremely excited for that. And early on in the show, we have a caller, area code 732. Please state your name, where you're from, and introduce yourself to the fans.
Hey, what's up, Graham? It's Seth.
Hey, how's it going, Seth?
How's it going, everyone? Haven't been on Spoilers in a while, so figured I would call in.
Well, yeah, we haven't done Spoilers in a while. It's our first show and our first show and
we've had some
Well, I mean, last week was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We had Raw and SmackDown last week, and that was pretty good. But, yeah, I'm just excited to talk about this week as well. Extreme Rules coming up. Got a solid card shaping up for that, so I'm looking forward to it. But nothing all that noteworthy happening in the last few weeks since we've last had Spoilers. But just injury updates on John Cena and The Rock, both suffering injuries. But them aside, I think we've had, you know, somewhat of a low-key past few weeks in wrestling.
Exactly. Nothing too majorly groundbreaking, nothing too special, but nothing awful, if you know what I mean. It's been pretty solid.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So let's get started with some Monday Night Raw results. First, from Columbus, Ohio, we have Biggie Langston versus Deb Coulter and Ricardo Rodriguez. Versus Ricardo Rodriguez, match made by Taylor Hunter threat match. Ricardo Rodriguez wins this one after he rolls up Deb Coulter. And then we have Cody Rhodes taking on Randy Orton. Cody Rhodes wins for a disaster kick, but jumps right into an arcade on Randy Orton, won that match. Then we had Brie Bella taking on Naomi Omi. And the winner of that match was Brie Bella after they did a twin switch, as they did pretty much every match. But then they complained, and they only ended up winning by disqualification. The Shield came out and gave a promo. John Cena had a backstage promo that we had Dolph Ziggler taking on Kofi Kingston. Dolph Ziggler won that one. Then the only thing that two of the finishers on Kofi as Dolph Ziggler should have won. Then we had Jack Swagger taking on Zack Ryder. Jack Swagger, the winner in that match. And then we had Mark Henry carrying a rope as they went to commercial. They tried to get an interview with him and Ryback. But then Mark Henry came out with a big rope. And Mark Henry says he cared to prove the strongest man in the world. And it's going to, and there's a tug of war contest that he's going on. He beats Tentai, beats Curtis Clay. And then Sheamus. And then he had Sheamus, but then Sheamus let go of the rope, and Mark Henry got pissed off, but then Sheamus nailed him with a bro kick. And then Alberto Del Rio is going to have Sandy Cesaro. Alberto Del Rio wins this one, and then we have the main event, John Cena Team Hell No versus The Shield. And this match, The Shield wins this one after Roman Reigns, Spears, John Cena, and looks like, and that's where the injury came from. So, well, kind of your overall impressions from the Monday Night Raw?
Well, this past week I did not think was as good as last week. Last week we were, of course, presented from England, London, England. I thought that was a fantastic show, probably the best show of the year thus far. But as far as this week goes, it wasn't all that bad. I mean, it wasn't the worst episode that we've seen all year, but there was some good matches. We saw Alberto Del Rio versus Antonio Cesaro, Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. We saw a number of good matches from this week's Raw. The only problem was that every single one of those matches was extremely predictable, and that kind of took away from it. I mean, some of those matches got good time, good action. The people who lost are good, strong in the feet, but that's not the point. The fact that we've seen these matches oh so many times in the last few months, I can't even count how many times we've seen Cesaro versus Del Rio, and it's the same outcome every single time. That's the problem with today's WWE, specifically Monday Night Raw. They don't know how to utilize 3 hours. And not only that, for the filler segments as well, we got the tug-of-war thing, the dance contest between Fandango and Great Khali. The opening match can kind of go either way. I kind of like that, and I kind of hate it at the same time. I thought it was an okay concept, the triple threat match between Coulter Rodriguez and Biggie Langston. I thought that was an okay concept, not so much to kick off the show. I like in-ring action kicking off the show more times than not, but this kind of match, not so much. But even still, we saw some good builds going into Extreme Rules. I'm just a bit concerned at the moment that we only have three matches confirmed for Extreme Rules at this point in time. And Seth wrote an article about this on Bleacher Report just recently about potential matchups that we could see come Extreme Rules in a few weeks. But that being said, it's only 2 weeks from this upcoming Sunday, so they need to start making matches official ASAP. But even still, I thought this was a decent addition of Monday Night Raw. But the main event was also kind of good as well. Solid main event with The Shield taking on C19 Hell No. Really like the fact The Shield went over clean, in a sense. I mean, I know John Cena was injured, but they didn't cheat to win. Seth Rollins, or I'm sorry, Roman Reigns picked up the victory, winning the WWE champion while injured. So I thought that was great. The Shield once again reigned supreme. But aside from that, there weren't a lot of highlights in this week's Raw.
Not at all. And I'm really interested to see what the storyline with The Shield is going forward, what they're going to do at Extreme Rules regarding the WWE Championship with John Cena. And it's still kind of weird to me to talk about John Cena as the WWE Champion, because we haven't seen him as champion in a year and a half. I'm still trying to get used to calling him the actual champion again. So it'll be fun seeing him defend his title at Extreme Rules. But I'm really interested to see how The Shield does. Like you said, some of the filler segments, like the tug of war, was really dumb, really just served too much purpose, except to possibly kind of Sheamus and Jack, rather Sheamus and Mark Henry as a feud. But we have 2 weeks until the pay-per-view. We ran into the same problem with WrestleMania, where the undercard really wasn't being developed that much. However, it got done time. And in my opinion, the undercard performed very well. The same scenario happening at Extreme Rules. I'm really liking the card thus far. We've got the World Heavyweight Championship match and Triple Threat ladder match, singles match, something, and right back to the WWE Championship, the Brock Lesnar, Triple H in a steel cage. So the main event's going to hold up strong. I'm just interested to see where they go with the undercard and how well that performs this week. Yeah.
Well, we do have a few matches foreshadowed. I mean, I know we have, obviously, we have Team Hell No versus The Shield set in stone. That's pretty much a lock at this point. As for the other matches, I'm pretty sure, but we might get Antonio Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston in some sort of matchup for the U.S. Championship. They had a rematch for the U.S. title this week on main event. Definitely suggest checking that out if you haven't already. Great, great matchup. Following the matchup, Cesaro attacks in backstage. But I presume the feud will be continuing going into Extreme Rules, which is something I'd like to see. Maybe Barrett versus someone for the IC Championship at the event. Would not be surprised to see that happen. Not exactly sure why he was not Raw nor SmackDown this week. That was a bit odd, but that aside, maybe Caitlyn versus AJ for the Diva Championship. AJ won the number one contenders match a few short weeks ago. They kind of built upon that this week on Raw and SmackDown respectively. So I would not be surprised to see that match go down in Extreme Rules in a few weeks. But aside from that, I'm not exactly sure what other matches they have planned. They're probably going to throw another random match that they always do right before the game.
Well, Big Show seems to challenge Randy Orton tonight on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I completely forgot about those two feuds. Yeah, Sheamus and Henry and Big Show and Orton look like a lock at this point as well. I would like to see them in the Fatal 4-Way match. I think that would be much more entertaining. than having two separate singles matches and, in a way, just have it be a number one contenders match in the World Championship. I don't see it going down that way. I see both matches being respected singles matches, unfortunately, but, yeah, that kind of looks like that's the route they're taking at this point with all four guys.
Yeah, you make a good point. I also would not like to see it as two separate matches. I think that it's two filler matches, basically, because no one's going to care at all about two single matches between those guys. I was thinking we would see another tag team match with the four of them, but I do really like your idea to create a four-way for number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, even the tag team match work, too. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be involved in the tag team division at all. I mean, getting the titles involved or number one contenders match the titles or anything like that. But, yeah, Fatal 4-Way match could work, too. I mean, with it being Extreme Rules, the only gripe that I have is that they have yet to announce a stipulation for either matchup. I mean, the matches themselves have yet to be confirmed, but we need stipulations for both matches. Before the Big Show ends up happening, I'm not exactly what match they go with that. If they go with Sheamus and Mark Henry, maybe we get a no-holds-barred match. I'm not exactly sure. But it's all going to depend come, you know, in a few weeks if they confirm these matches or not. But like I said before, I'd much rather see a Fatal 4-Way rather than two respective singles matches. As you just said, Seth, no one's going to care either way because we don't care about all four guys at the moment. None of them have anything going for them at the moment, which is unfortunate because, you know, they are four great stars, but the feud itself has not been exciting up to this point.
Absolutely. I actually wouldn't mind them beating tag teams in the tag team division. I've never been against Orton and Sheamus being a tag team in the division. I think that they both would make for interesting pairings.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, Mark Henry and Big Show made for a good pairing when they tag team a few weeks ago on SmackDown. I thought that was a very good matchup. You throw a stipulation into that, and I think that can make for a great match, as you just said, in Extreme Rules, whether it be a tables match or whatever it may be, maybe in the old bar or a street fight, something along those lines I think could be great for Extreme Rules.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see how they say John Cena and Ryback just use their stipulation, which, as of right now, according to what I'm looking at, it hasn't been announced yet. What would you like to see as a stipulation for this match?
For which matchup?
Oh, I'm just looking at all these matches that have been put. The only one that has really, Triple H and Brock Lesnar have been confirmed in steel cage, and then the World Heavyweight Championship in the triple threat ladder match. However, we're looking at some of these other matches that aren't set in stone are pretty much locked. And then we have the WWE Championship match. Those still don't have special match stipulations yet. What would you like to see for the stipulations?
For the WWE title match, I would assume that it's going to be a tables match. That's what they've been working at various house shows over in Europe. So I would assume that Ryback and Cena would work a tables match at the event. As for the WWE tag team title match, not exactly sure. Maybe an old bar match, given the fact they've been utilizing, you know, the outside area and recent episodes of Raw and SmackDown. So maybe an old bar match. Not exactly sure, but. Yeah, definitely a tables match of the WWE title. That's what's been. That's what it looks like. It looks like it's a lock for this point after what they've been wrestling on the various live events over in Europe.
Mm-hmm. I'd really like to see them try and bring back something that has been used in forever. I just can't really think of one off the top of my head. Oh my goodness, I can't remember it. It was a match that happened a couple years ago. It was a JTG and. It was when Crime Time faced off against each other.
Oh, yeah, the strap match.
Yeah. That one was actually pretty funny. If they get done right with Orton and Big Show, I think that could be hilarious.
I think that could work. I mean, they pulled themselves to a decent strap match a few years ago at Extreme Rules. Not between Scott and JTG, but So they did it with Chad and JTG, but they did it the year previous as well with Punk and Umaga, I believe. That was a decent match. And I believe they could do the same thing with Sheamus and with Big Show and Orton. So yeah, that wouldn't be a bad step for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and what's the other match you were talking about? That's pretty much a lock. I didn't catch SmackDown tonight.
The No Holds Barred match, the WWE tag team title match.
Yeah, is that the other one you were talking about in addition to Orton and Big Show?
Sheamus and Henry.
Yes. You know what? I think with that type of war thing that they did tonight, that could be leading up to a strap.
Is that supposed to be a match stipulation? Or I'm confused.
I'm not necessarily sure. Like, I'm just trying to think of possible stipulations for these different matches that may or may not be happening at Extreme Rules. I'm just saying that maybe that kind of tug of war thing could be hints at the strap match to come. Unless I'm thinking of a different type of match.
Graham might have stepped out for a minute. He was having some sound issues, so he might have dropped and will be calling back in a minute.
Okay, so we'll try and get those issues resolved. I mean, we've contacted Block Talk Radio numerous times about this, and they have been working on it. They've been very good to us about working on it, but
yeah, but there's always issues with them. I've been having a lot of issues with them.
Yeah, this is starting to get a bit annoying. But anyways, what would you say to a possible foreshadowing of a strap match at Extreme Rules between Sheamus and Mark Henry?
It's fine. Like we've been saying, I feel like people don't really care that much about the feud. It seemed like Mark Henry sort of just randomly started targeting Sheamus. He was involved with John Cena and Ryback briefly right after WrestleMania, but then all of a sudden is attacking Sheamus for no reason. So there's very little point to that feud, but a strap match would be interesting, and we haven't seen it in a long time, like you mentioned.
Yeah. I wonder if there's something that we haven't seen since, like, the Attitude Era, a good match like that. Here, I'm gonna.
Well, when's the last time we saw an Inferno match?
Oh. Yes.
We haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last one was Kane and MVP back, 2008?
Wow.
Wow, 2008? No, it was 2007, because it was the year the Taker won the Rumble. Wow, that's been a long time. That's been 6 years since our last Inferno match. I'd like to see that.
I mean, I don't think we're going to see a First Blood match anytime soon.
No.
that would be interesting.
That would be pretty sweet. I'd like to see that at it. I'd like to see a First Blood Hell in a Cell match. I wonder, that could actually work with Brock Lesnar and Triple H, because if I remember, they both got busted open at Mania. So they could play off of that.
Yeah, I feel like Hell in a Cell matches, there tends to be a lot of blood involved.
Yeah. Let's see. There was that one time, it was like a boiler room brawl or something.
We only had one or two of those, right?
Yeah, it's like Mankind or one of McFoley's personalities and someone else, in an arena. Yeah, that could be fun to see again.
Is that when Paul Bearer turned on Undertaker?
Maybe. Oh, I'm looking it up right now.
I think maybe they had to like get out of the boiler room and get to the ring and capture the urn. I could be mixing up two matches here. But it's possible that they had to like get possession of the urn to win the match, and that's when Paul Bearer turned on Undertaker.
Oh. Okay, I'm just looking at. We could do title on a pole match.
Oh God, no! Pole matches are almost always terrible. That's only for like Vince Russo booking.
I think we named one of our previous podcasts after a pole match. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, the Rey Mysterio and Carl one, I think.
It was
something
involving
Scott Hall.
Still
on a pole match. Still on a pole match.
Yes. Let's see. Hold on. What's some other ones that are... And I'm just looking at these different matches that'd be fun to see again. I want to see an Iron Man match. I just don't see any really good candidates for a good Iron Man match. I don't want to see Cena right back in an Iron Man match, especially if Cena's injured. Let's see. What else we got here? Hardcore-based variations.
I want to see an Iron Man match at some point in time, but it needs to be saved for like a big feud, though. Like an, like a Punk-Cena feud, if they ever decide to bring back that feud, I would like to see that in an Iron Man match. I think that's definitely worthy of that stipulation.
Yeah, but I don't think it needs to happen anytime soon because we recently saw so many of their matches.
No, yeah, not anytime soon. I mean, at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be two top guys.
Yeah, exactly.
They could have, a Boiler Room Brawl could actually be pretty fun for the winner is the first person to successfully get out of the Boiler Room. That could be fun to see. It'd have to be.
Yeah,
have to
work.
Be
I could see that happening with Big Show and Orton.
Yeah, that could. Yeah, it's just fun thinking of all these crazy different matches. Maybe something we've never seen before. That'd be cool if they came up with something like that. Like, remember when they first debuted the Punjabi prison match? That thing was really cool. Too bad the matches weren't that good, but...
Well, you gotta take into account who was involved in it.
Yeah, there was an Undertaker-Kali match, and then I think there was a Batista-Kali match, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think that was it, though.
Yeah, alright, well, anyways, fantasizing about different wrestling matches aside, the pay-per-view the main event's looking pretty good right now. I want to see what they'll do with the Ryback Cena match, and then in terms of a stipulation, because it's Extreme Rules has to be a stipulation, and then some of the other ones that are pretty much a lock for the card. I think we end up with 7 matches, and then maybe a pre-show match. I think that's fair to say. We've got 3 main events right now, 2 that are pretty much locked. And then we could possibly have a United States Championship match in the pre-show, maybe a tag team title match, something like that. I don't know. I'm certain we'll see the Shield at Extreme Rules, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. And as well, too, I forgot about this match, or it was recently rumored that The Miz might be coming back on this episode of Raw, this upcoming week on Raw. So if The Miz comes back on Raw this week, they could easily reinsert him into the IC title picture. Have a rematch for him and Bear at Extreme Rules. I could see that happening, too.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, they're tied 1-1 in their WrestleMania and Raw after WrestleMania matches, so they need, you know, that final third one. Just as much as we need a Triple H Brock Lesnar third match, but, you know.
Yeah, we know all that.
I'm actually okay with this third match right now. I think it's going to be pretty good.
I don't know. I think it might hinder the match more than help it, but I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
We'll have to see. I would have loved if they made some UFC stipulation in it, you know?
Well, I mean, you kind of think of the single cage kind of like an octagon, I would say.
It would have been funny to see it in an actual octagon, though. Although, there's probably some trademark on that as the WWE kind of used.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, anyways, I think the match will be decent. These guys know how to work, especially in a steel cage. I'm also... So, now with Cena being injured, how do you think this hinders, or rather, how do you think this impacts the next 2 weeks?
I don't think it impacted at all, quite honestly. I don't think this changes the decision of the matchup. I don't think Cena's injured to the point where they're saying, oh, they're going to put the title on Ryback. I don't think that affects it at all. I think that they just might have him work less, maybe, or just protect him more like they did on Monday's Raw by putting him in more tag team matches, maybe. I don't think they're going to switch the title to Ryback. I mean, I would love to see it, but I honestly do not see that happening, which is a shame because they rushed into the feud so quickly when they shouldn't have, when they should be protecting Ryback right now. But unfortunately, I just see him ultimately being fed to Cena come Extreme Rules. But even still, I don't think the injury affects the feud at all.
Yeah. Now, I could definitely see Ryback winning this if Cena's injury would hamper him in the later months after Extreme Rules. But I still think that the strong indication is that Cena's going to keep the title after the pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't expect Cena to take time off either, like Punk is. They can't have Punk out, Taker out, and all these other top stars out while Cena's out too. So Cena's not taking time off, despite some speculation from some people. I remember it was Extreme Rules last year that he indicated that he was taking time off after his match with Lesnar. Remember he beat him, and then right after the matchup, he said he was taking a vacation, and he came back the next night. So that didn't end up happening. So I don't expect him to take time off anytime soon.
Yeah, and the only problem with Punk trying to take time off was they didn't have anyone to replace him. They needed him back to have some star power.
Yeah, exactly. At this point in time, they need all the star power they can get. That's why they elevated Ryback so quickly back in the fall, and they're still elevating him now. But that's the problem, because Ryback's their only top star at the moment, and they're pushing way too quickly, which is why I think he's going to be ultimately fed to Cena come Extreme Rules. As I said before, it's a shame, because this is a match that they could have built towards come SummerSlam. It's a big-time match, Ryback versus Cena, first time ever, but they're giving it away at Extreme Rules because they have no other top stars at the moment.
Yeah, and that's really a shame, but, I mean, what else you could do? You can't have John Cena and Big Show, you've already had it. You can't have Cena and Randy Orton because they're both faces, and you've already had that. You can't do John Cena and CM Punk, that just happened. Can't do John Cena and Triple H, they're both faces. Can't do John Cena and Brock Lesnar, that already happened. Can't do Cena and Del Rio, that already happened, they're both faces. The only really legitimate one I could... that really hasn't happened recently. It's seen in Jack Swagger, but of course Jack Swagger just lost a whatever championship. He's going to be going after that. So they needed someone to step up and be a good foil to Cena. And Ryback, I think, has done pretty well with that.
No, yeah, I think so, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge fan of Ryback. I've been a huge fan of his heel turn up to this point. I don't think it was the right time to turn him heel. But I think, given the fact that he's turned heel already, he can't turn it back at this point. So I'm fine with what they've been doing thus far. But I think he can make for a strong heel. Thus far, he's been doing a good job of making the transition. But it's just going to need some tweaking going forward. His mic's still not the greatest. So he might need a mouthpiece at some point in time. But for right now, as you know, for the last few weeks, he's been doing an effective job of trying to get over as a heel. But I just don't think it's going to last. And like you said, Cena versus Ryback was their last option. That was what they had to resort to. I wish it wasn't that way. That was kind of the con of putting the title back on Cena, because there's not many feuds left for him. And after a feud with Ryback, I have no idea what in the hell he's going to be doing after that. But even still, I don't know what they're going to be doing for Ryback and Cena coming through most. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because this match could easily go either way. I expect Cena to go over, but I really, really hope Ryback goes over. He deserves a championship. If he loses to Cena at Extreme Rules, he is buried for life. This guy has not won a pay-per-view match since July. He needs a win over a top star. If it's not over Cena at Extreme Rules, this guy is buried for life, because they've had him lose to almost everybody over the last 6 months.
Yeah, I think Ryback should win also. If you think about it, I've always thought, and I wrote about this in an article, that I think John Cena is better chasing the championship than actually being the champion himself. And these champions kind of boring, and there aren't really many people for there to challenge him, like we just said. They were forced to have it be Ryback, and after this, like you just said, Graham, who's going to be next. I think it would be smarter to have Ryback be the champion and have Cena chasing him.
Yeah, that'd be a good scenario.
Yeah. It's becoming a problem because now they're starting to run out of people for Cena to face, and you have to have Cena at the top of the company, and to have someone from the face, you have to have, one, a well-established person who can go against him well, but also they have to be a pretty good heel, and you don't have anyone like that who Cena hasn't already faced. And so they're going to have to turn someone heel, someone who Cena really hasn't faced, and put him up against them, because if you don't have a good feud for Cena, then that's really going to take away from the rest of the card, because like it or not, Cena is the top of the pay-per-view every single time. If the top is not doing well, it's almost like a trickle-down feud scenario where if the top one's not very good, then the rest of them are going to suffer from it because there's not going to be as much anticipation going into the pay-per-view, and it'll take a lot of the atmosphere and suspense away from some of the other matches.
Well, then I'm curious to see what they do with guys like Antonio Cesaro after they had him drop the U.S. title. Does that mean that they are demoting him, or is that set up him to be in a main event? And then you got someone like Brock Lesnar, who I think needs to be in a more meaningful feud, not against these other part-time wrestlers that no one cares about, that the feuds have no meanings. So you can do that. Also, I know Grandma liked this idea. You know, we haven't seen Christian in a long time, and you know, it seems as though he's ready to return.
Yeah, most definitely. As you just said, Seth, I completely agree on the Christian scenario. I would love to see him, Christian versus Ziggler, at some point in time. I don't see it happening directly after Extreme Rules. I kind of see them going the route of Ziggler versus Del Rio for a little while, but after that, maybe at Money in the Bank, maybe at SummerSlam, I'm not sure, but Christian versus Ziggler would be a great match over the World Championship. But you brought up Lesnar and Triple H before. I want to talk about that real quick. They've been going at this point in time, as of May 3rd, 2013, they've been doing Brock Lesnar versus Triple H for over a year at this point. Brock Lesnar only has a certain amount of dates on his contract. They're wasting a big chunk of those dates on a feud that is rarely ever featured on television with a guy that he's not going to benefit anything from this at all. Triple H and Brock Lesnar, like we saw at WrestleMania, it doesn't matter at all. Triple H is already a part-timer, as is Brock Lesnar. Their wins over one another don't mean a thing. So why not have Brock Lesnar feud with someone younger, like CM Punk, or even like a John Cena the last year at Extreme Rules, or another guy like Daniel Bryan or Antonio Cesaro, someone along those lines, that if they were to defeat Brock Lesnar, or a Ryback for that case, if they were able to defeat Brock Lesnar, would benefit greatly. As we saw at WrestleMania, Triple H beats Lesnar, it means nothing, because he's a part-timer, disappeared the next day. So they need to stop wasting Lesnar's date on guys, part-timers, and this rumored with Rock going into WrestleMania, which could be a disaster. I mean, it could be a good match, but again, what does it matter? Both these guys just lost at WrestleMania. Why would I want to see them go against one another at WrestleMania 30? So, that being said, I'm not exactly sure what they do with Lesnar, but they need to end this with a Triple H ASAP, move him on to new feuds with guys, like I just said, with guys like The Miz, CM Punk, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, etc., etc., immediately after Extreme Rules.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I'm still trying to think of a possible feud for Cena after Ryback, assuming that Ryback feud only goes Extreme Rules, which I think they don't have any other option but to extend it after Extreme Rules and to try and establish someone else come up as a dominant heel. I think, and this is just pure speculation by me, the most logical thing I could see right now is John Cena feuding with The Shield in some way, shape, or form going into SummerSlam. I think that's going to be the big feud. He's going to team up with someone else, or he's going to be left all alone. but I'm not sure how they end this with Ryback or where they go with this from Ryback. It's all very murky to me right now, and a lot of me really likes it. I don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but I just don't see a good scenario in what would happen. So I'll probably be surprised, but I'll probably be displeased as well.
Well, I'd be very surprised if this feud with Ryback only lasted for Extreme Rules. There's no way for... The WWE's in a difficult position with the Ryback-Cena match because Cena's only been holding the title for a short time, so chances are they're going to keep it, the title on Cena, but at the same time, as we've talked about, Ryback has been looking so weak on pay-per-view, so I'd be very surprised if this feud doesn't go for another month or two in some way.
Well, I think it has to. There is no logical solution if they end it after Extreme Rules. It really has to go after Extreme Rules, at least for one or two more pay-per-views, because there's just no one ready to step up to face Cena in a good feud going into the summer, where they really need a good feud lead in SummerSlam.
Yeah, so they'll save themselves some time before they have to find a new number one contender.
Yeah. I do see something happening with the Shield over the summer. But other than that, I really don't know what's going to happen over the summer. There's a lot of room for openings right now. I explained this a few weeks ago on our last show. Right now, I think they're kind of stuck in limbo. The WrestleMania momentum has kind of died off, and now they're just waiting to start up the big summer feuds. They're kind of caught right in between them. They really don't know where to go, but they still have a pay-per-view to do, and so they're kind of throwing these feuds together in order to have show. So I think the situation will get a lot more clear once we hit the end of May, start of June. But these next 3 weeks are, I don't know, it's going to be very interesting to see where they go with it.
Well, even the month of June isn't usually a good month for WWE. I mean, as of last year, and kind of in recent years, I've noticed that June and May, most notably, aren't the best years because, as you just said, Ben, they're kind of like filler months before they get to the big summer storyline from July. So don't expect anything big to happen in the next few weeks. I would expect the Cena Ryback feud to continue going to at least June and Payback pay-per-view in June. After that, though, yeah, like you guys were talking about, perhaps Cena versus Shield. I hope not. They've been doing that a hell of a lot over the last few months. They teased it this past week on Raw. They did it at Elimination Chamber. I hope that's not the route that they take. They did the same thing with Cena and Nexus, and we all know how that turned out, so I really hope they don't do that in the summer storyline at SummerSlam, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they book Cena following a feud with Ryback in the WWE Championship after, you know, May, June.
Mm-hmm. See, if the WWE was ever to adopt an off-season, there's been some people who have called for that, and I don't really see too much of the logic behind it because I don't think it would ever work. But if they were to ever adopt an off-season, I think it would start the day after WrestleMania, and then continue on through the end of May. Then you can build your summer storyline, give the wrestlers a nice month, couple months off. So I think that'd be the most logical time for a quote unquote off season, as some people have been calling for.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of it's that time of the year where it's kind of the off season. That they kind of develop new feuds. This is where they kind of test stuff too, with the new stars. And I mean, they have a lot of potential talent, too. They have guys like Fandango. They have guys like Cesaro, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow. They're not just utilizing them correctly. I mean, Fandango is obviously an exception. They are utilizing him correctly at this point in time. Still not a fan of him, but they are utilizing him correctly. As I just said, guys like Cesaro, Rhodes, and Sandow, we saw this week Cesaro's matches against Kingston and Del Rio on this episode's week of Raw and Kingston on main event. Sandow faced Orton on SmackDown, Rhodes faced Orton on Raw.
all of those matches, great matches. All these guys can be top stars in the WWE. They're just not being treated as such, and they're being fed to the top stars in non-meaningful ways. So they need to start booking them correctly. Like a guy like Cesaro, had they kept his momentum going in this year, had they kept him going as a strong U.S. champion, and had he dropped the U.S. title to Kingston a few weeks ago, it would have meant something, and he could have moved on to the main event. A lot of people are still speculating that he will move on to the main event from here and go on to become world champion or win the SmackDown briefcase this summer. I honestly, as much as I love Cesaro, I don't see that happening at this point in time. He hasn't won a match on Raw and SmackDown in months, so I don't see that happening. I hope it happens, but if it were to happen, I would see it kind of going the Jack Swagger route back in, you know, circa 2010 when he was on a massive losing streak, won the Money in the Bank, then had a lackluster reign as world champion. So I hope that doesn't happen, but they need to start booking these younger talent more, you know, more efficiently if they ever hope for them to get over in the business in order to feud with guys like Orton, like Cena, you know, guys of that sort.
I just don't know what they are really expecting to do regarding Cena. I like to see someone bumped up, and I think my favorite guy to possibly be bumped up to face Cena is Cody Rhodes, but I just don't see a logical way for them to swing that right now. And then maybe Wade Barrett. We saw John Cena versus Nexus, but we never really saw John Cena versus Wade Barrett, and that'd be something I'd really like to see, given that Barrett, in my opinion, changed a lot and even gotten better in the past few years since he broke off from Nexus. I'd like to see that as feud. I just don't see any logical ways for them to swing that.
I wouldn't mind Barrett versus Cena. Obviously, it's not the most freshest feud that they have, but it could work. Like you said, the last time they did it was 2010. And, I mean, if we see Orton versus Barrett 1,000 times, we see that almost every single week. I think they can afford to do another Cena-Barrett feud. I don't think it would be over the IC title. I think we need to drop that first, obviously. But even so, I think Barrett versus Cena could be a nice filler feud, regardless of whether it's over the World Championship or not. But, yeah, that'd be a nice way to elevate Barrett back up to the main event scene. He hasn't been in the main event scene for quite a while now since his return, and they kind of botched his return upon winning the IC Championship, and they haven't booked him since. They haven't booked him correctly since he won the IC title back in late December of last year. So, yeah, that'd be a nice feud to have if they were to go that route this upcoming summer. But like you just said, how do they get to that point? I have no idea. Maybe they do something random. I don't know. But it's all about how they get to the point, and then we can worry about how the feud goes and whatnot. But yeah, it all depends on how they jumpstart that feud.
Mm-hmm. And I think that would possibly jumpstart someone to get up to the main event at Money in the Bank. They just got a couple months away, and I think that's where we'll see the Ryback scene if you go to is Money in the Bank. Let's see, we have Extreme Rules, and then we have whatever the hell the June pay-per-view is called. What is the June pay-per-view this year?
That would be Payback in Chicago.
Payback, okay, yeah. I knew the new name, I couldn't remember. So we have Extreme Rules, and we have Payback, and then Money in the Bank, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so now I can kind of see that's where they're going to go. Have John Cena Ryback go 3 pay-per-views. Maybe have John Cena win the first one, Ryback second one, Cena win the last one, and then Cena goes on to face the winner of the Money in the Bank ladder match for the Raw briefcase. And that leads into SummerSlam and going into the fall quarter of the year. I could definitely see that happening. I'm just not sure if they have enough storylines saved up for 3 straight pay-per-views of Cena Ryback.
They could. I mean, they stretched out Punk and Cena for a number of pay-per-views in late 2012, so they could do the same thing with Cena and Ryback. And I mean, it all depends. But I mean, even though I'm not saying no, too, I wanted to ask you this. With The Rock being injured at WrestleMania, obviously he was supposed to work Extreme Rules. It was rumored that they were going to do a Cena-Punk-Rock triple threat match for the title. Obviously, they couldn't do that after Rock suffered an injury and Punk ended up taking time off. So they had to scratch that and go with Cena versus Ryback abruptly. But even still, what I wanted to ask you was, they mentioned the night after WrestleMania that Rock still had his rematch clause for the WWE Championship. Yep. Do you expect him, upon his return, to invoke his rematch clause, either against Cena, Ryback, whoever it is, and get back in the title picture upon his return, whether it be SummerSlam, Hell in a Cell, WrestleMania next year? Do you see him getting back in the title picture against Cena, Ryback, or whoever?
Sorry, could you repeat that last bit? You kind of cut out there.
Or do you see Rock getting back in the championship picture against Cena, against Ryback, or do you see him just resuming his feud or just jumpstarting his feud as Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar?
That's a tough one. You know, the way that WrestleMania ended, I could see them leaving the feud as that done. It's over. They shook hands. Cena beat him fair and square. It's done. I could see him starting a feud with Ryback, but I think the most likely scenario is if he comes back, starts a feud with Brock Lesnar, which I would not be too happy with. I don't like two part-timers fighting, but I think that's the most logical thing. I don't think we'll see John Cena and The Rock again, even though some people think we'll see a third match at WrestleMania 30. I just don't see it happening with the way the WrestleMania 29 ended.
Do you think we might be able to see The Rock versus Ryback for the championship? Maybe at some place like SummerSlam, if Ryback were able to win the championship? Or do you just not see him going back for the title at all, just scratching that idea? Because remember, they acknowledged it the night after WrestleMania when they said that he still had his rematch clause. That's why I say that.
Yeah, that's true. He made such a big deal over the summer after last year's WrestleMania, after beating Cena, saying that he would be back for the WWE title. And he made such a big deal out of that and only got to hold it for little more than 2 months. So I think if he does come back, it will be for the title. I just don't see it against Cena. Maybe right back. Maybe somehow Brock Lesnar can end up with the title. I don't know, but I could definitely see it as going for the title.
Yeah, it all depends on who's holding the championship by the time he comes back. I don't know for sure when he's coming back. I would assume at the earliest it's going to be SummerSlam. At the latest, it's WrestleMania. But I would expect, it's been rumored that he might return at Hell in a Cell in October, which is going to be taking place from his hometown of Miami. But Hell in a Cell isn't usually the best pay-per-view. That's usually a mediocre pay-per-view at best. So I'm kind of on the fence of him coming back at that pay-per-view. Because, you know, usually in the past few years, he's been coming back at, you know, one of the big four pay-per-views. They advertise him for Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. To come back at Hell in a Cell is a bit strange. I would like to see him back at SummerSlam, if anything. But, yeah, again, it all depends on who's holding the championship by that point in time.
I'd like to see him return not at Hell in a Cell, but rather at Survivor Series. I think if you have a good team for him, or even if he's just in a singles match. Actually, I'd like to see a Brock Lesnar versus Rock Survivor Series team, typical Survivor Series match between those two guys, each of them picking some of the guys. You could have some really high-profile stars coming for both sides. That could be something I could see, but of course this is all pure speculation and really just fantasizing. We have no idea what's going to happen in 6 months from now.
Well, I mean, even on that same note, too, if they were to keep going at the storyline pace that they are, they could do the Team Heyman that we were anticipating last year. They could do that this year. And again, this is 6 months from now, so I have no idea what's going to be happening by that point in time. But they could do Team Heyman with Lesnar, Punk, and Shield, which would make up five members, and Rock and beat three other people. Something along those lines. I would love to see something like that. Again, 6 months from now, it could easily change as soon as tomorrow. So you never know in the WWE. But if they kept everything consistent in the next few months and they kept Punk face, Lesnar face, I'm sorry, they kept Punk heel, Lesnar heel, the Shield heel, all that stuff, and they just kept that consistent, I would love something along those lines for Survivor Series in November.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll have to see, because I think the WWE really tries to build for the big they still try to build for the big four. The other eight are just kind of the pay-per-views leading up to the big four: Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam. So, but and I think that we'll start to see some semblance of a big feud going into SummerSlam, starting off with Money in the Bank. That'll be the main instigator of the big feud. And then we'll have another one with The Rock going into Survivor Series, and that'll set up the Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania, and then the cycle will continue on and on forever.
Exactly. That's usually the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we'll see The Rock more at Survivor Series than we will at SummerSlam. I think people generally see Survivor Series as bigger than SummerSlam. I certainly do. And that's the one that The Rock had his first match since in a number of years, right before he faced Cena at WrestleMania 20.
Well, I mean, also the
at
fact
WrestleMania
that,
28. Sorry, I cut out there, but I think that SummerSlam, rather Survivor Series, is seen as more important by people who write The Rock's feud, and that it's more logical for him to return there than at SummerSlam or Hell in a Cell.
Well, not even only that, but also the fact that, I mean, he was injured at WrestleMania, so his agents, I would assume, are a bit weary of him stepping back into the ring. If he were able to compete in a five-on-five Survivor Series tag team match at Survivor Series, that would protect him a bit more, like it did when he was tagging with Cena against Awesome Truth back in 2011, rather than competing in a singles match one-on-one with whoever at SummerSlam. Yeah, so I think it'd be a better idea if you were able to return at Survivor Series, build up the storyline that The Rock has done, because he has stated in interviews in the last few months, or the last few weeks, I should say, that he could very well be done in the in-ring circle, because after his injury at WrestleMania, he's a bit weary of stepping back into the ring. So you could build up that storyline going into the event and then have him be the captain of the team, you know, build it up that way over the next 6 months. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And how old is The Rock right now? I think he's 41, so he's starting to get up there in age. And when you're not consistently in the ring and you're rusty going in, it's easier to get hurt. And I think The Rock realizes that and may start to step away from doing in-ring work and may just do promo stuff, maybe a quick match. But I think really starting after 2014, the days of seeing The Rock in the ring will start to wane down. And then that's when we'll see him do all this end of his career stuff and Hall of Fame and all that.
Yeah, I could see him wrestling one more match at WrestleMania 30, just end it there like Taker might, if he just ends his career there on the same event that Taker might be ending his career. I'm not saying that Taker should face Rock or anything, but even still, Rock's getting to that point where, I mean, by this point, I don't even care to see him, quite honestly. I mean, he returned back in 2011. He was the hottest thing going. He was hot for a number of months. Going to WrestleMania 28, he was still doing good. After that, though, it kind of went downhill. I mean, going into the Royal Rumble, he did a fine job in the CM Punk, but after that, I have no intentions of seeing him again. After his match with Cena, I was not looking forward to that match all that much. The match did not impress me. He did not impress me in the ring. And honestly, the only thing that I wanted to see him engage in upon his return to the WWE was against John Cena. And his feud with Punk was great, too, but aside from those two guys, what other top stars are there left in WWE for him to feud with? Now, obviously, there's the rumors of him feuding with Lesnar, but I wouldn't care if that didn't happen. If that didn't happen, I would not be depressed at all. We saw that back in late 2002. So we've already seen it before. It's not like a first-time-ever matchup. So I'd be fine if that never happened. Rock versus Orton, I think, could be a good matchup, but it's only going to work if Orton's heel and you play at the whole Legend Killer thing. It's a long shot, but I would love to see something like that. Aside from Orton and Rock, though, there's really not many more matches that I want to see Rock engage in. So if he was to compete in one more match against whoever, I honestly would not care all that much. It needs to be built up in a way that's going to be billed as the Rock last match and needs to be something important, because his last match with Cena did not impress me all that much, and I would not be surprised to see him wrestle. I would be surprised if he did not wrestle another match, because Vince McMahon pretty much teased that he would be wrestling one more match at WrestleMania 30. So I'd be fine with him retiring for good after next year's WrestleMania.
And I think the problem that we've seen with The Rock is when he first came back, it was so special. He hadn't been back in, I think, it was 7 years. And then he started coming back more and more, and suddenly it's less special, and you realize this guy is from an entirely different era. And while he's still very good on the mic and still decent in the ring, he's not in his element. And it kind of suffered because of it. And don't get me wrong, Rock and Punk was still a pretty good feud, and Rock and Cena was still a very good feud. But it was not to the potential that everyone was dreaming of when they talked about The Rock coming back.
No, exactly. You make a very good point. I mean, it's not even the fact that The Rock was on every single Raw over the last 2 years. He came back sporadically. He came back every few months for a few appearances, and we're already sick of him. He was gone for 7 months at a time. He was gone from July of last year to January of this year. He was gone for 6 months, and I still didn't care all that much to see him. I mean, like you said, it started to feel less special every time he comes back. I definitely agree with that. I mean, if he comes back, it all depends on when he comes back. If he comes back tomorrow, no one's going to care. He needs to wait a little bit. SummerSlam, I think, is rushing it a bit. If they were to wait until November, I think that's probably the best time to bring him back. Make it feel a little bit more special, build it up to something huge because he hasn't been around since WrestleMania. So I would like to see something like that. But, yeah, like you just said, his returns get less and less special because we see him more and more so often. You know, after his 7-year absence from the WWE, his pop was so huge in the Valentine's Day episode of Raw back in 2011 that it was the greatest thing ever. But as time passed on, it became less special because he was on Raw more often. And that was only every few months. So you can imagine what it would be like if he was on every single Raw like some people hope he would.
Yeah. I never expected The Rock to be on every single Raw, and I never really wanted him to because I knew it would just ruin the perception that we had of him, remembering him from the Attitude and Ruthless Aggression eras. And since he had that stint in WWE where he was there, or at least part of the main picture, for 3 solid months, it really showed that he was really out of his element. So I would not be too displeased if he only comes back for one more match at WrestleMania 30. I'd be okay if he came back for a Survivor Series and WrestleMania 30, but I'd prefer just to see him do one more match and then that's the end of his career in the WWE.
Completely agree. And the only problem is the fact that there's so few top stars at the moment that who looks like a threat against The Rock aside from John Cena? Do you have Randy Orton go up against The Rock? CM Punk again? I hope not. Lesnar, I mean, even Lesnar, does he look like a threat? He lost to John Cena last April at Extreme Rules. He lost to Triple H this year at WrestleMania. How does he look like a threat against The Rock? Would you expect Brock Lesnar to beat The Rock at WrestleMania if he wasn't able to get the job done this year? So that's what I mean. Like, there's so few top stars that's why there's not many intriguing things to engage in, because there's not many intriguing top stars in the WWE at the moment. That's the problem with today's WWE. They have to rely on past stars to feud with one another in order to get a great feud. That's why. And I don't want to see Undertaker versus The Rock either. Some people were speculating that. I have no idea why. Undertaker, I'm not saying he needs to be carried to a good match, but Punk helped bring him to a fast-paced match in this year's WrestleMania. If he worked with The Rock, if he worked with The Rock at this year's WrestleMania, then it would not be as great of a matchup because The Rock was, you know, slow as it is in the ring. And he needs someone that can work, like John Cena, to help pull him to a good match. But before I continue on, we're going to be going off the live stream for the next minute or so. For those listening live, we will be having this the remainder of the show on the podcast version. So make sure to check back on blogtalkradio.com/CWP radio for more. And once again, thanks for listening. So like I was just saying before, it becomes less and less special, and we need to have Rock come back for one more big match. Rock versus Lesnar is fine, but I'd much rather prefer it if it was something fresh, something that we've never seen before. Rock versus Ryback isn't all that intriguing. Rock Ziggler? I don't even know. I mean, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see, and wait until WrestleMania and see who's hot and who's not to face Rock at the big event.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see him face The Undertaker. I don't think that'd be a real good match because I think it worked when CM Punk had the whole disrespect thing and the whole respect angle and everything, because that's what CM Punk has been going on for months now. But that, what else would The Rock have beef with The Undertaker about except for ending the streak? There really is nothing. And that makes for a very boring feud. At least with Shawn Michaels, Triple H, they had history. The Undertaker and The Rock certainly feuded back in the Ruthless Aggression and Attitude Era, but they never really had too much good history that people are going to remember. I don't think it would work. I think The Undertaker should not face The Rock. And once again, this is just pure speculation. We're still 11 months out from WrestleMania 30. We have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. I mean, you think about May of last year. Would you have expected some, besides Rock and Cena, would you have expected any of these feuds that that happened at WrestleMania 29?
John Cena and The Rock, I probably would have predicted. A lot of people saw that coming from the minute the first match was announced, but Undertaker Punk, no. Triple H versus Lesnar, I did not expect it to go that far. Everything else, of course not. But aside from Rock and Cena, no, I did not expect any of the matches to happen at WrestleMania as far back as May. Even as soon as March, I mean, we didn't know any of those matches were happening. WWE changes plans so frequently that you can never book that far ahead.
Exactly. So to even talk about this is almost a bit naive because we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen even with the big matches at WrestleMania. I'm just saying this right now. I hope to God we do not see Undertaker and Rock at WrestleMania 30.
I certainly hope not.
I want to see Undertaker Cena. I've said that for years. Undertaker Cena at WrestleMania 30. That's the Undertaker's last match. He goes out 22-0, and it's perfect.
Absolutely agreed.
Yep. So, but anyway, to kind of answer your first original question, I don't see The Rock returning until Survivor Series. That's my ideal scenario. But I only want to see him wrestle one or two more matches, and that's it.
Yeah, in all honesty, I just want to see him back for one more match. If they wait until Royal Rumble of next year to bring him back, I would be completely fine with that. I mean, again, it all depends on who he sees, but I would be completely content if he was able to return at the Royal Rumble rather than at, you know, as soon as SummerSlam or Hell in a Cell, which wouldn't make much sense anyway, or Survivor Series at the earliest. But yeah, just one more match and then he's done, because I don't even care for him to face. I don't even care to see him face anyone else anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no one else left for him to face. It's almost the same situation with Cena. There's just no one left for him to face that is a legitimate threat.
Yeah, exactly, because everyone else has been booked so poorly that there's no other top stars for him to face, and everyone else has been booked fine. Guys like Show, Orton, you know, Sheamus, Henry, he's feuded with them multiple times in the past, so it's, you know, it's not possible. That's where they need to start building top stars, or new stars, I should say. That's what they're doing with Ryback, and that's why they're doing that press feud. But while Ryback is rising to the top, they also need to start building guys like Sandow, guys like Cody Rhodes, and Tony Cesaro. Like I said before, all of those guys, Wade Barrett as well, all of those guys are future world champions. They just need to start booking them right now. Because right now they're being booked like complete crap, so if they were to be put in the world title picture tomorrow, they wouldn't look like a threat whatsoever. So they need to start putting them, or need to start elevating them now and start doing gradually over time. So in 6 months from now, they are in the world title picture and they are credible threats.
Yeah, definitely. Now, who do you really see as, in a year's time or even 6 months' time, as a credible threat to the world title?
To the World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE
Championship? The WWE title. Who do you see elevated from the mid-card to the top?
That's a really good question. You mean someone from the mid-card right now or anybody?
Really anybody.
I mean, again, it all depends. Like we were saying before, we have no idea what Cena's going to be doing after a feud to Ryback. For the World Championship, I see a lot of possibilities. Ziggler, if they keep the belt on him long enough, there's a lot of possibilities for him as world champion. Like I said before, after Extreme Rules, he can feud with Del Rio. There's Christian.
after they split up Team Hell No after Extreme Rules. They could do D-Brock and Ziggler. That would be an amazing feud. They could do Ziggler-Langton. They foreshadowed that a number of times. There's a lot of feuds for Ziggler for the World Championship. There's a lot of feuds for the World Championship in general. So SmackDown is set. Raw, on the other hand, they've had the same problem since last fall, or even as far as back as last summer, where they've had the same faces in the title picks, including Ryback, Cena, Rock, and Punk. Punk, I'm fine with holding the championship, but, I mean, they've just done every feud possible at this point. That Cena-Ryback was the only feud they haven't done, and once that's over with, they need to elevate somebody. Who's it going to be? I have no idea. And bringing back a former star, a guy like Batista or something, yeah, it's cool for the moment, but that's not going to help you in the long term. You need to start elevating the young guys, like I said before, guys like Cesaro, Barrett, et cetera, so you can have those long-term feuds. But I think, if you asked me a few months ago, I would have said Cesaro or Barrett, but given how poorly they've been booked, I can't say that anymore. So it all depends. But, I mean, it depends on who's champion and who's in the title picture by the summer, but I would expect Cena to still be champion by the summer or to still be in the title picture at the very least. Same thing with Ryback. I don't know who else they're going to elevate. It doesn't look like anybody at the moment. Sandow, Rhodes, et cetera, or Cesaro and Barrett have all been booked the same way for months now. Unless they start changing things now, I don't know who's going to be elevated in the next 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we're starting to see some consistent little people going up and making it to the top. We just saw Dolph Ziggler just win the World Title a few weeks ago. But like you said, SmackDown is set. We need people on Raw to be in the Raw main event picture who are going to be part of the feature once CM Punk and John Cena and all those guys are gone or retired. Now, John Cena's starting to get a bit old. He's still way in his 30s, not even close to retiring, but you got to think of the future sometimes. You got to have some of these guys who are going to step up. And one of the things I really want to look at is go through some of these points in history when some of these big name guys started to retire. Like right after the Golden Era, you had this period in between the Monday Night Wars where you almost had kind of the same situation. They're still wondering who is the top guy. Hulk Hogan was starting to dwindle, and they were looking for new top sides. But then you had Shawn Michaels come up. You had The Undertaker come up. You had Bret Hart come up, and they started to become the top stars. I think WWE has to look back to that and see what they did and just start elevating these guys one by one. I think that they have been doing that. You look at Dolph Ziggler, for example, and even Sheamus. They started elevating these guys to the top, making them become stars of their own. So, you have to be patient to kind of watch this progress, I think that they'll end up getting it done and do it well towards the future.
Well, like you said, too, Cena's getting up there in age. He doesn't have much time left. I mean, I could see him wrestling maybe for another 10 years at the most, but what do you do if a freak accident happens? I mean, just look at it. In the last year, the guy's been injured at least 3 times. Just now, just recently with the Achilles tendon thing, he was injured, remember, last October, which was why he pulled out of the WWE title match at Hell in a Cell, if you can recall that. He was injured at Extreme Rules, like I mentioned before, during his match with Brock Lesnar. What happens if something serious happens and he's out for months upon end? What do you do now? They need to start thinking about that. They don't need to start thinking about something happens, 10 years from now, what do we do when Cena's gone? They need to start thinking about right now, in case something happens with Cena, that he can't be there every week, he can't wrestle every week. They got lucky with the tendon thing, because you remember, with Edge, when he injured his Achilles tendon back in the summer of 2009, he was gone for 6 months. Cena got lucky, and he only bruised it, I believe. He only bruised his heel and did not tear the tendon completely. So he's only going to be beat up or just banged up for a few more weeks. Edge was gone out of action indefinitely for 6 months. So if that was to happen to Cena, they would be so screwed right now, just beyond screwed up, just given the fact that they have no star power right now. I would not be surprised if they brought it back in Punk. They would have to tell him that he would not have to take time off right now, or that he would need to be able to wrestle every single week. They would have to tell him, you can't take time off right now. Cena's injured, so we need you right now. That's the problem. Only Punk and Cena have been at the top of the game, at the top of the main event scene for over about 2 years now. Without Punk and Cena, they got nobody. So they need to start building new guys up. Ryback, they're starting to do that, but he's been so badly booked in the last few months that I don't have enough faith in him to be a top star at this point in time. And aside from Ryback, it's unfortunate because there's no one that comes close to that. So they need to start booking guys right now in case something happens, like a freak injury.
Yeah, definitely. You saw what happened with Edge and the void that kind of left on SmackDown with the World Heavyweight title picture. That kind of left a bit of a power vacuum where they really had to elevate Del Rio and make him a big, legitimate threat going after WrestleMania. What was that, 28? Yeah. Wait, was that? No. No.
When Edge retired?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. My brain's blanking right now.
It was right after, it was after 27, because it was in 2011.
2007, okay.
Oh, 2011.
Oh, yeah, because I knew it wasn't the same. Okay, yeah, sorry. For some reason, I had in my mind that Shawn Michaels retired at 27. No, he retired at 26. Never mind. Huge brain fart right there. It's late at night. I can't concentrate right now. But anyway, you look back to that time, that kind of left a bit of a power vacuum at the top of SmackDown. And that was just Edge. While Edge is a big star, imagine that happens to the face of the company. What is the WWE going to do then? They're pretty much screwed. They have to have CM Punk come back. They have to have Randy Orton do something big, which they have had him doing absolutely nothing for the past year. They have no, I'm not sure if they have a contingency plan because he has always been there. And if something serious were to happen to Cena, I think, in my opinion, the WWE would be absolutely screwed.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I just said before, it doesn't seem like they have a backup plan. They're just banking on the fact that Cena's going to be able to work no matter what. And he's a workhorse. I give him credit for that, that he works through the injury. Despite being injured for the last few weeks with that Achilles tendon, he's still been working house shows over in Europe. I mean, granted, it's in a tag team environment, but even so, he's still working like hell. So I gotta give him credit for that. I respect him for that, but because, you know, most guys, they screw it and leave. But even so, they need to start thinking about, given the fact that Cena just can't compete whatsoever, if something was to happen. And they pushed Cena to the limit. They did the same thing with Punk, so that's why I'm very glad that he's taking time off. He very much so deserves it. So they can't push these guys to the limit, because as we saw with Punk, they can only hold it for oh so much time. And, I mean, Cena took some time off. At some point, he was off for some rush. Punk hadn't taken time off for over 2 years. And when he did take time off, it was only for 8 days, if you can recall, back in 2011. So that being said, they needed to elevate more stars so Cena and Punk can have that, you know, that that possibility, that capability to take time off whenever they need. Right now, they can't do that because they are so short on top stars that it's pretty much impossible at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, do you have anything else to say before we go off the air?
I don't think so. I think I'm just looking forward to Extreme Rules, not next Sunday. I believe it's 2 weeks from this upcoming Sunday. But as we draw nearer to that event, I look forward to other matches will be confirmed for the show. Here's hoping they keep up the strong booking over on the SmackDown side of things. They've been doing a great job with that. There's a lot of matches I'm looking forward to at Extreme Rules. So here's hoping to keep up the strong streak of shows and start to elevate more talent as we discussed on this show.
All right, definitely agree. So you can follow me on Twitter at SirBen_WE. You can find my writing at one of our sponsor sites, WrestleEnigma.com. And you can follow this podcast at SpoilersPodcast. And you can email us, SpoilersPodcast@gmail.com.
And you guys can like my Facebook page over at Graham GSN Matthews. I'm over on Bleacher Report as well. Simply by searching Graham GSN Matthews. I'm on Twitter and Tell at @save_us_GSM. You can check out my website for all the WWE TNA rumors, recaps, and more at nexteraWrestling.weebly.com. Check me out on YouTube. Subscribe to me at TedDiBiase2x9. And listen to my other show, Save Us GSM, every Wednesday evening at 10 Eastern Time, 9 Central Time, over on PW247.net. And, of course, listen to Spoilers each and every week right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWB Radio. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great week.